Deep and meaningful conversations to connect, find calm, feel empowered, and uncover clarity. Welcome to the Death, Dying, Diagnosis and Doulas podcast.
I've got a fantastic guest today, Jancine, and she's going to talk to us about cool things around death of pets, supporting children into, I suppose, grief and how to help children process. And Jancine, welcome. And I love the presentation that I saw you do recently, and it just really touched my heart. And I just thought it was such a fantastic thing to be able to talk to us about. So first up, can you just tell everybody a little bit about you and what you do, and then we'll get into all the really cool stuff.
Oh, thanks so much, Julie, for having me today. It's a real honour to be here and having a chat with you about ritual and ceremony, especially with pets and children in after-death care. I've been an end-of-life doula now for probably around 4 years, and the journey has been phenomenal. Like, it's taken me on to some really interesting places and spaces, and I've met some incredible people in this experience. And most recently, as you suggest, I've been moving more into the sort of pets and children space because I had a very personal experience recently with my own family and the death of our very beautiful pet, Jackson, who was a 16-year-old golden retriever Labrador.
Yeah, and it was such a beautiful story, and I really think that it'll help a lot of people to hear that. So you're an end-of-life doula, so you work with people, not just pets, obviously, and you work for Preparing the Way, is that right?
Correct, yes. Yeah. So I work with Helen Callanan and our incredible team at Preparing the Way. So we're leading the end-of-life doula training in Australia, which is an amazing place to be. It's such a warm-hearted, compassionate, incredible place to work. It's absolute joy to get up and go to work every single day.
Oh, that's so cool, isn't it? All right, so when I heard you talk, Jancine, the story about the dog in itself was beautiful, and then how you created, you know, the ritual and ceremony around that, but then how you brought the children in the family into that whole process and I suppose exposed them to things that are part of life but a lot of children get locked out of. So what's your thoughts about children and you know, and death in the family and the grief process? So how do you think, if you're a parent, what's the best way to be able to bring children in and really get them to understand death without being scared of it?
Yeah. So to start with, I think that children are pretty open to death and dying. They're really sort of natural in this space. And if we can talk to kids on their level and be really transparent with them around the end of life so that there's no fear and they get an understanding around the process, I think it's a beautiful thing. And in a really age-appropriate way. So we were really transparent with our family. Like, it was my three little nieces and their parents and my parents. So it was a very intergenerational process around the end of life of Jackson. And I just truly believe that the more transparent we are with kids, the more open and honest we are, the less fear that they have around end of life, especially as pets are generally their first, like, big death in a family if the natural process of death and dying happens in the way that most families do. It's usually the goldfish, the cat, the dog that will die first.
That's it.
Not always. Sometimes it's grandparents, but not always. But generally it's pets that kids experience end of life with first and foremost.
Yeah, totally. And the thing is, it's like it's just they have no understanding about it and they need us to really guide them. But I suppose, you know, you wonder, do they actually pick up fear from parents if that's the energy that's around? So that's why I loved your story so much, because there was no fear in it. So, and yeah, and a lot of us just love our pets and they're so much part of the family, and I think that's why that, you know, the story that you gave resonated. So first up, can you tell us a little bit about Jackson and maybe the ages of the children and what the relationship between the dog and the children was?
Yeah, absolutely. So Jackson came into our family 16 years ago, and he was part of our family before the kids came along. So he was the first fur baby, I guess. Pets are very significant in people's worlds. So he was our first little family member that came along. And he grew up for, it was probably nine years before the first child came along. So we had him. He went to the beach every day. We took him for walks. He had a very integrated life in our family. And when my parents came to visit, they'd take him for walks. So it was a really big part of our world. And then the children came along, and, you know, the Grace is 9 came first, and then Josie is now 7 came, and then Neve is 4 also came in and was part of this world with Jackson. So they literally grew up with him. So he was always a part of their family, or our family. And Josie, the middle child, is incredibly intuitive with animals and absolutely loves animals to pieces. So he was a very, very big part of her world.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And the thing is, the kids just, I imagine, just think that those family pets that are there from day one are always going to be there.
Yeah, well, it's just assumed that, you know, as children grow up and the pets grow up with the children, they don't see a world without them until there comes a point where, I mean, Jackson was 16 and we could tell that he was in pain almost on a daily basis. He was having trouble getting up and down. He was not as motivated and sleeping all the time, and we could tell that his quality of life was to a point where it was not a quality of life for him anymore. We couldn't take him to the beach. We couldn't take him for walks to the park. We couldn't do all those beautiful things we'd done as a family because his health was compromised. So we had to make a decision of, do we let him continue down this path where his end of life would, his quality of life would be so poor that he would not have a quality of life? Or did we make the choice to euthanize him when we did? And that's what we decided to do.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had dogs all my life, and it's such a big decision, you know, that we come to say, well, is this time or not? And people, I know how hard that is for everybody that, you know, that's got a really loved pet to actually have to make that decision. But I suppose we're lucky we can. I've often thought, God, I just wish I'd get up one morning and you'd be dead. But yeah. I think I've only ever had one dog that actually did that. The rest of them, it's all had to be that tough decision. So with the children, as you could see that you were getting to that point of having to make that decision, were the children involved in any of that discussion at all at any level in that, as you say, that age-appropriate way?
Yeah, so from the day, I mean, last year we could see that, you know, he was declining and he was having trouble getting up and down and moving around, and we could see he was in pain. So we made that decision that this would be his last Christmas, and that we would, you know, probably look at euthanizing him, you know, somewhere in January, February of this year. And so the kids knew that it was Jackson's last Christmas. So we made it a really special event. And then as January came through, he declined very quickly after that. It was interesting. It was like he almost knew that it was his last Christmas and it was his time. So one day I was over at my family's house, and I just saw, like, he couldn't get up. He was under a table. He was having trouble getting out. And I said, I think it's time we need to make some choices around this. And so I made some phone calls and I interviewed a few vets to see what they could offer. We had some boundaries around it. We wanted to do this at home. We didn't want Jackson to go to a place where he was unfamiliar and wasn't sure about anything. So we made sure he was at home. We made sure we had plans in place. And the kids knew from the very beginning that this was the process we were going through. And so I made the phone call on the Monday, and we organised that we would do it on the Friday, so we all had the weekend to grieve and be in our own place. And it gave us a week to actually really prepare the kids for this whole process. And we took that whole week, and every day we did something special towards Jackson's last day on earth. And it was so beautiful. It was heartbreaking and it was beautiful.
Yeah, and that's that thing, isn't it? Like, things can be so heartwarming and so beautiful, but at the same time incredibly painful. And, yeah, treading that along in that way that everybody gets it. And, I mean, I think it's a real gift. And honestly, like, finding a vet that will appreciate that, was that hard to get a vet that would come to the house and when you wanted and do what you wanted? Did you have to ring around?
So I think in the end I found 4 or 5, and it was really interesting. The vet that we chose, I knew as soon as I spoke to him that he was the guy. I didn't care if he cost me $1 million, he was the guy. Because most of the vets that I phoned were happy to come to the house. They asked a series of questions. Where do you live? How much does the dog weigh? And what day were you considering it? And pretty much that were their 3 stock standard answers. This guy wanted to know about Jackson, about our family, about his life. And he said, like, you know, it's just like you are making the right decision. He said, I have been with so many families who leave this choice to the very, very last moment, where obviously the pet has been in pain for an extended period of time, they have no quality of life, they can't do the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
You said you've actually picked the perfect time. Because we were still on the day that we chose to euthanize Jackson, we were still able to take him to the beach. We still had a family day with him. We still gave him all his favorite treats. He still played with the ball. He did all of those things that he was doing as a puppy. Obviously, it was a lot harder now, and he was in pain in the afternoon because he'd overdone it. But we were still managed to give him a really beautiful day.
The Death, Dying, Diagnosis and Doulas podcast. Empowerment through conversation, connection through understanding. This is the Death, Dying, Diagnosis and Doulas podcast.
You've made the decision sort of on the Monday, got things organised for the Friday. So what did you do with the children for that week? Yeah. And what did you talk? How did you talk to them? What did you say?
Yeah, well, so they came home from school on the Monday and we told them straight out that Friday was going to be Jackson's last day, and they were obviously upset about it.
Yeah.
So I've been out and I bought an incredible book called The Invisible Leash.
What's it called?
It's called The Invisible Leash.
Yep.
And I can't tell you who wrote it at the moment, but I can certainly get that information for you. But we sat down in the lounge room and all the kids sat around, and I read them this story about this incredible book about when this little boy, his dog dies, how they're connected through their heart by this invisible leash. And I could not, and I still can't, get through that book without crying because it was just such a beautiful story. And the kids were all looking at me going, why are you so sad? And I'm like, because this is Jackson's last week and he's been in our family for a very long time and we love him and he's always going to be connected to us. And so they got this understanding of Jackson going over the Rainbow Bridge, so he's going to another place. We won't ever see him again, but we will always be connected through our hearts.
Yeah.
And it is, as I said, such a beautiful story for the kids to get that understanding around him not being around physically anymore.
Yeah, and I imagine that book gave them a lot of opportunity to ask questions because they're different ages of kids, so they'll have a little bit of a different level of understanding. So what sort of questions did they ask you?
So they wanted to know where he went, what happens, like when he dies, what happens to his body, where does he go? And the book explains that beautifully, that he goes to literally across the Rainbow Bridge, I think is how it's explained. It might not be in that book, but there's other books as well. But what the other beautiful thing that they had done previously was watch this incredible movie called Coco, and it's around the Day of the Dead. And I don't know if anyone's seen it before, but it's certainly a movie worth watching, was that when people pass over into the next realm in the Day of the Dead and the animals go over too, the animals turn into an alabria, which is these incredible mystical creatures which are full of colour and full of wonder and full of beauty and grace. And on the Day of the Dead, when we remember these beautiful, the people and the animals, by putting their photos up and celebrating them, they actually get to come back and visit us.
Oh.
And so they all thought that Jackson was going to turn into the most incredible alabria and he was going to be a water dolphin, something like that. I think I remember them calling him because he loved the water so much.
Yep.
So he was, in their heads, he was this incredible mystical creature that was half dolphin, half dog. So they had this understanding that that's what he would be and that's where he would go. So that gave them a great deal of comfort, actually.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And, you know, we'll get some resources that we can add into this as well so that people have them there, because I think those books and movies, they're so important with preparing children, you know, and so that they can ask questions and try to get a little bit of an understanding, because death is a... it's an adult concept. It, you know, till our kids just don't know what that means. And as you said, it could be a goldfish. It could be anything, but the children still need to understand that when it's gone, it's physically not here, but it doesn't mean they can't think about it and connect with it and have their own feeling about that.
Yeah, our love for them doesn't go away. Like our animal might be missing physically, but our love for those animals is still here. We still have an attachment and a love for these animals that have been in our lives for however long.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's something we still need space for that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So moving forward then to the Friday, did you do any specific, like apart from watching movies, reading books, did you do anything else with the kids during that week, or was everything on the Friday?
it was a packed out week. We did something every day, literally. So on the Monday, we read the book. It might have been the Tuesday. It was one of those days. Yep. Then we all went for a journey to Spotlight. And so we were going to shroud Jack. So now our goal was to wrap him in a beautiful something of comfort that he could take with him. And so we off we went to Spotlight looking for the perfect fabric for a shroud for Jackson. So three kids in tow, mum, me, off we went looking. We all had different ideas and different opinions about what we believe we could wrap Jackson in. And in the end, we ended up with very simple, simply calico. We chose calico because we could decorate it ourselves.
Yep.
And we also found this incredibly beautiful fur, like this faux fur grey fabric with like dog prints on them. So we bought that as well. We weren't sure what we were going to do with that, but we thought we'll get this fabric as well. So we came home with the calico. We bought the dog print home stuff as well. And that afternoon, the kids decided that because there's three kids, we would have three wraps. So that when we shroud Jackson, we would tie them off in with three different beautiful bows.
Yep.
So we used those strips of fabric and each of the kids got to decorate them. So one afternoon we got all the colourful textures out and they all got to draw their beautiful memories of Jackson on their piece of fabric that we were shrouding Jackson with. So we did that on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, I think. But that was a beautiful process as well, just being able to express our love for Jackson through being creative.
Yeah.
You know, drawing the ball that he used to play with, drawing the rainbow bridge that he would go over, drawing the beach where he loved to play, all of those things, all of those memories that he's created, we actually drew on fabric.
And while you're doing those things, those really, like, to me, they're sacred activities, but while you're doing that beautiful craft work and preparation, the children are thinking, talking, I imagine, asking some interesting questions as well. So it's did you think that it was really they were like processing during that period?
It's how we can help children breathe healthily.
Yeah.
It's a healthy bereavement process because they're part of the process. There's no question. Like there's no fear or there's no anxiety or there's no questioning around what will happen because they are part of what's going to happen. So through this, you know, through the process of drawing on those shrouds, we were talking about on Friday, we would take Jackson to the beach. We talked about the vet that was coming. We talked about the lady that was going to take him away to be cremated. Like, we were talking the whole time about what the process was going to be on the Friday so that when Friday came, they knew that it was going to happen and it was no mystery to them that at 3 o'clock the vet's coming and this was going to happen. And I think that's a really healthy way for children to make an understanding and to prepare. Because, you know, it's one thing to come home and find that your pet's gone.
Yep.
But it's another thing to be part of that whole process and allowing the grief to come up through the week. And so we, as a family, we all grieved in our way through the week of knowing that this was Jackson's last week.
Yep.
And then that fabric that I was talking about, the grey fabric with the little footprints, then what I'd done is I took that home and I made little love heart cushions.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So I made these gorgeous cushions. They got to choose what sizes they want. Some wanted big cushions, some wanted little cushions. And so I made all of these love heart cushions and I sewed them together on a string. And there was one cushion, the very first cushion was a calico cushion, and the rest were all these furry fabric ones. And I, as I said, sewed them together on a string because when Jackson had died, we were shrouding him. We were using those cushions as part of our invisible leashes, or our invisible threads. So we wrote Jackson's name on the calico heart and we all wrote our names on that heart and that went with Jackson when he was cremated. And then from that we cut the string and we all got our own little hearts and that connected us to Jackson.
Wow. And so they've got also not just memories, they've actually got a physical memento there with them of the whole process.
Absolutely, yeah. And so now they've all got their cushions with those little footprints. And then just, it was 2 nights ago actually, when I just got around to when Jackson came back and was cremated, I put little, they all wanted a little piece of Jackson in those cushions. So we've all got sewn into our cushions now a little tiny bag of his ashes that we've actually got with us always.
Wow, that's amazing. I love it. I really do because it just brings me back to sort of my own childhood. You know, you'd get home, oh, the dog's dead. Well, where is it? Oh, buried in the backyard there. And that, like, you know, it's that was just the way a lot of it was. You know, people shrouded us all, you know, from the pain that they thought that we would feel, so we were just protected from it. But at the end of the day, it's not protection, in my opinion, and that's why I love so much what you talked about.
Connection is key for the Death, Dying, Diagnosis and Doulas podcast. If we speak to you and people that work in your space, reach out for a collaboration, julie@doulaconnections.com.au.
On the Friday, you went to the beach, you did those. Were the children with you when the vet came?
Yeah, so the kids had the day off school and we made a whole day of it. So my parents came up that morning, so they came up from the Northern Rivers, and as a family we all went to the beach and we took Jackson for a walk and he played with the ball and the kids were there and we got some beautiful photos with him and the girls on the last morning, and then a photo too of my dad sitting with Jackson at the beach, which is just gorgeous. And then we took Jackson home and he had some treats, and he was of course exhausted after his morning at the beach, running and playing with the ball. And he went round to the side of the house and he literally just went to sleep.
Mm.
And so that morning, we actually all sat around and we wrote him stories. We wrote him love letters. We made cards for him. So we used stickers. We used, again, feathers, really colourful textures. And we all wrote a card and sort of said that we love you and, you know, we wish you well on your journey.
Yep.
It's still, yeah.
Yeah,
it's still such a beautiful story. I mean, it's just so heartfelt.
I know, and people need to hear it, and because it's so special. So keep going. I love your emotions. So keep going. You know.
So yeah, so we wrote these beautiful stories for him, and we set up the back table and we bought flowers for him. So we all got these beautiful yellow flowers, and so we put the yellow flowers on the table. We put the beautiful strings of cushions on the table, and we put the cards on the table, and we also went out and bought candles. We all got a candle each and we put the candles on the table. So we set up this beautiful altar for Jackson for when, you know, the vet came. And so the vet turned up at 3 o'clock on time and he had an assistant with him and we welcomed him into the house. And then the girls took him out to show him where Jackson was. He wanted to go and say hello to Jackson. And Jackson was around the side of the house in the shade. He wasn't around on his bed, he'd gone around the other side. So he came around and he sort of said to the vet, you know, did you want us to bring Jackson back? He said, no. He said, today is all about Jackson. He said, as much as I'm here for the family, he said, my number one priority is Jackson. He said, well, I want to make sure that he's comfortable and he's safe and that he's very well cared for. So he said, well, we'll leave him where he is and we'll set up here. And so what the vet did first, and the girls, he sat down with the girls and he took them through every single step of the process.
Wow.
So the kids knew exactly what was going to happen. They knew that Jackson was going to get a sedative that was going to make him relaxed and just take the pain away from him. Then while he was being relaxed, we all got to sit with him and talk with him and give him treats and, you know, just give him some absolute love.
Yep.
And then the vet put a cannula in, and then he had these two medicines of two different colours. And the kids were asking about why they were the different colours, why the medicines were different colours, and one was to put Jackson to sleep and the other one was to stop him from waking up. And that's how he explained it.
Yep.
And so we were there and we were sitting, the whole family was sitting around. Jackson was he looked so relaxed.
Yep. Like
you could see for the first time in a long time, he had no pain. You could see that for the first time in a very long time that he was just really comfortable. And so we all sat around and sort of shared our love with him and gave him treats. And then it was the vet's time to actually administer the medications and put him to sleep. That was pretty emotional for the kids.
Sure.
They were feeling the emotion because they knew that Jackson wouldn't wake up from this.
Yep.
And, yeah, everyone was very sad, but it was just this process of all being together, all sharing the love. It was just a really beautiful process because we were there for each other.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I really do.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. It really was.
And honestly, it sounds like you found the best vet. I mean, I just love you know, him talking with the children, him or her. You said him, didn't you? You're your vet?
Yeah.
So, you know, talking with the children, explaining, answering their questions. I think that's just, I mean, if we all knew you do even interview our vets to get those sort of outcomes, particularly when you've got children around, like, I think that's just amazing.
Absolutely.
So once he died and the vet had gone, then what happened? So in that space, I mean, I imagine there was quite a silent space in there, but what happened?
So the kids, like, it was very much, you know, once Jackson had died, the kids had sort of got to know that, you know, we sort of, you know, just observed his body and realised that he wasn't going to wake back up. Josie, who was the middle one, who was very attached to Jackson, was collecting bits of fur from him. She wanted to keep some fur. And then the lady who came to cremate him came, and we put him on a little stretcher and we carried him back around to the table where we set up our little altar. And we went about the process of shrouding Jackson. So the girls were incredibly involved. They wanted to be on every step of this journey. Like, they really wanted to be a part of it. So we got to wrap Jackson up. Each girl got to tie their little ties around his shroud. We put the flowers in. We put the letters in. We put his heart in, his little calico heart with all our names on it. And then we cut the threads, and we all got our little cushions so that we're all connected to him always. And then once he was all wrapped up and tied up, the girls, with a bit of a scramble, they all ran outside and made a guard of honour for him to the car.
Oh, God.
And so,
my heart, honestly, but yes.
And so then I and the lady carried Jackson out to the car and we said goodbye.
Yep. Wow.
And off he went. And so he went off. And the funny thing was, it's the most hilarious thing. We came back inside and we'd moved the altar inside at that stage. And so we still had a photo of Jackson and a couple of flowers left because a lot of the flowers were with him. And we all went and lit our candles. We all wanted to light our candles in memory of Jackson, so we did that. And the kids were like, oh, can we watch Coco now? We're like, yeah, well, we'll watch Coco after dinner. Like, they wanted to watch the movie to watch, you know, Jackson turn into an Alabria.
Yep.
And so they all went off to play. That was it. The ceremony was done. They went off to play with toys, and all of the adults had to sit down and have a drink and a bit of a cry because it was all a bit much for us. know, once that process was done with the kids, they were happy. They went off to do their thing, and then we all sat down and had a drink, and then in the evening we actually sat down as a family to watch Coco the movie, which was really beautiful. To share that experience. And then after we'd done that, of course, everyone went to bed. And then it was a few days later that I went back around and I got the kids to actually draw Jackson as an Alabria so that they could see, so that they could in their own minds have an image of what he looked like now that he was gone and he was across the Rainbow Bridge.
So they drew their own picture of that.
Yeah.
Their own interpretation of what that was. Yep.
They did. And we've got some gorgeous, some really colourful, beautiful photo, like images of Jackson now, which they've all got, which is beautiful.
Wow, I just love that. So really, after that, were there many other questions, or do you think that they were pretty good, you know?
So there haven't been many questions. There's been a couple of times where they'll go outside, and I still do it myself. When I go and visit, it's like the first thing I do is look out the back door because I always gave him a treat.
Yep.
And the kids will go outside going, oh, we miss Jackson. Like, they miss him, obviously. He's been a very big part of our family.
Yep.
So they still miss him. They haven't asked any questions about where he is because the lady the following week brought his ashes back.
Yep.
And then, of course, I put the ashes in little bags. And so they were all part of that, putting the ashes in the little bags that I sewed into their cushions. And we were supposed to be having a memorial service for him this weekend, which we've postponed until April. But again, my parents are coming back for that. And so what we did last week, and this was just obviously very recently, was I've had them collecting toilet roll holders for the last month or so. So they've been collecting all of these toilet roll holders. And so what we've done is the other night we created with the toilet roll holders, I've put a little base on them, and they've decorated these again with colours for Jackson on paper. They've decorated these beautiful toilet roll holders so that they're now these little scatter urns. So we've got, I think, 10 of them. 10 of these little beautifully created, colourful toilet roll holders that are now the scatter urns, so that when we go to have Jackson's memorial service down on the beach, we all get a little scatter urn with some of Jackson's ashes and we all get to scatter him in the urn where we know that he's favourite place.
That's amazing.
Still to come. We're not done yet.
Yeah, no. And that's the whole thing. It's not that it's done and that's the end of it. Like, there's still more work to be done. And I mean, anything that just can get that children to the point of feeling comfortable. So after all of that, and to me, it was just such a beautiful, beautiful explanation of how to, you know, to bring children into the whole experience of death. Have they actually asked any questions about people and what happens to them when they die, or have you ever seen any fear in them whatsoever, or do they just see it all as part of life? Like, what do you think
they are just incredibly accepting children. Like, they understand, I think, now through the process of Jackson, that this is what's happened to Jackson. This is probably what's going to happen to their grandparents. This is, you know, this will eventually happen to themselves and their parents. They have a complete understanding of the process. And, I mean, I know it was Jackson and he was a dog, but it's a very similar process that we do for people as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can have that process. We can shroud people. They get cremated. We do the memorial services. We have the altars. We, you know, we do the grief and the loss in a very, very similar way that we do with animals. And
yeah.
So this was just a really beautiful introduction to this is the process. And so now these kids are going to go out into the world and share this experience with their friends. And their friends will also learn from it. Like,
yeah.
You know, this is what we can do in this space. They are now educators in the grief and loss space, because when their friend's pet died, they can share with them what their experience was and hopefully make that a better experience for their friend.
Yeah, totally agree. So that ripple effect and, you know, to be able to other people that, other children that might have some fear and misunderstanding or no understanding, I suppose, that they'll be able to help and guide them too. So such a beautiful story, Jansen. I'm so grateful to talk to you today, and I really honestly think that this conversation is so important, and I think that a lot of parents will really benefit from your insights and your ideas today. So thank you very much, and it couldn't have been a more inspiring discussion. I just loved it. So thank you.
We hope you found this conversation and information interesting, helpful, and empowering with the Death, Dying, Diagnosis and Doulas podcast. Help us empower others by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen.